This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Stacey Gotsoulias of Locked On Yankees. Welcome to the show. If you're on YouTube, hi. If you're listening, hi. It is September 15th. We're halfway through the month. Can't believe it. And the Yankees find themselves in the first wild card spot with Toronto and Boston. It's going to be an adventure these last couple of weeks. Yeah, they did this to themselves. They had a horrible first half of September. They've won two in a row. And we'll talk about last night's game against... Who'd they play last night? Why can't I think? Who were they playing last night? Oh, Baltimore. Right, Baltimore. Because they can't ever beat Baltimore, but they beat them last night, and they beat them the way they should. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about performances from the game, both pitching and offensively, and we'll talk about other stuff. But first, you can get this podcast on YouTube. If you're looking at me, hi, subscribe, like, comment. If you're listening, you can listen on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts. And you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So last night, the Yankees, it was a miracle. They beat Baltimore. I'm kidding. But am I kidding? I don't think I'm kidding, because they're 10-7. Against Baltimore right now. They have two more games against them. They need to win them both. None of this two out of three stuff. And I know I've had people complain about me saying this all the time, but it's true. None of this two out of three stuff against Baltimore. There's no reason for you to not beat Baltimore. They're one of the worst teams in the league. Tampa beat them nearly every single game this season. They were 18-1 against the Orioles. That's better than what the Yankees did in 2019 when they were 17-2 against the Orioles. That's how you should treat the Orioles. No offense to the Orioles, but you're not good. They do have good players, but overall as a team, they're not good. So last night was the type of game the Yankees, well, actually, no, I would say Yankee fans needed. The Yankees kind of needed it, but Yankee fans really needed it. We needed a game where we were relaxed watching the game. And for the most part, we were. Gerrit Cole had a little bit of trouble and didn't look that good early on. And it wasn't a great game for him. And he acknowledged that last night. And he pitched well enough to win, got his 15th win of the season. Again, it was Baltimore, and you need to do that. The offense helped him. Bunch of home runs. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I want to read you a quote from Cole that I thought was important, because it's very easy for someone who's being paid over $300 million to not acknowledge, not acknowledge their teammates, because a lot of the guys do, but he made it a point to thank the guys who helped him out while he was, you know, still working his way back from that hammy. He didn't have to go on the IL, but he was resting a bit and other guys had to step in. So this is what he said. It's not without being picked up by your teammates, obviously. Mike tonight, Michael King. Obviously, Luis and Clark being able to give me an extra 36 to 48 hours to be able to take the ball again tonight. It's not without spreading the love around the team. I owe those guys quite a bit to be able to give me this opportunity. And you want to see the guy who makes that much money acknowledge the guys who aren't. Clearly, Michael King, Luis Gil, and Clark Schmidt are not making $300 million, but they're stepping in and doing what they need to do. And let's talk about Heal, because he had a rough game against Minnesota, but he lasted in that game, and the Yankees needed that from him. So after his rough first inning, then he gave up another run a couple of innings later, but he lasted long enough to give the Yankees a chance to come back in that game, which they did, because it's the Twins, and you're supposed to. I mean, yes, you're supposed to, okay? It's the Twins. I thought, as that game was happening, I thought to myself, if they can keep them at five, maybe the Yankees will chip away. And that's what happened, because it's the Twins. I feel bad for the Twins, but you know, that's just the way things happen with them against the Yankees. So let's go in depth to last night's game, because we need to talk about just the fact, like I said, it was an easy, breezy game. Got a little iffy in the ninth, but not really. I mean, they were up by 5 runs, and it's Baltimore. It's not like the Astros, where they were going to come back and win the game after being down 7-2 in the ninth. And that's the other thing. The Yankees lost a rough game on Sunday, and they've rattled off 2 wins against teams they're supposed to beat. And this sort of reminds me of what happened before the 13-game winning streak. They lost that really fun but rough game in the Field of Dreams game. They made the big comeback, and then Britain, I mean, what are you going to do? And then they rattled off 13 wins in a row. And I've said this many times. I know people are sick of me saying it, but I'm going to say it. They have 2 more against Baltimore, 3 against Cleveland, 3 against Texas. The games against Cleveland and Texas are at home. The Yankees need to win 5 out of 6 of those games, at least. If they sweep, beautiful, but they need to win at least 5 of 6 out of those games. Out of these 9 games, so last night, tonight, tomorrow, and then Cleveland, Texas, the Yankees need to win at least 7. Because you have the other teams, Toronto and the Rays are playing each other. Are they playing each other right now? Yes. The Blue Jays are up 4-0 in the bottom of the fourth right now. And that is against Michael Wacha in his 5.52 ERA. Robbie Ray has held Tampa to 2 hits, although Toronto has 4 hits. It's just they scored a bunch of runs in the first inning. They scored 3 runs. So another important game to look out for. The Red Sox are playing the Mariners. As I said, the Yankees, Red Sox, Toronto are all tied there in the wild card. It's getting scary. It is getting scary. This shouldn't have happened. The Yankees shouldn't have had such a crappy first half of September. If they didn't, this wouldn't be going on. But alas, it is. What are you going to do? Stuff happens. But hey, if you want to talk about this game and talk about it with other fans, guess what? This episode is brought to you by Green Room. I said that at the top. I'm saying it again. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Yankees, and you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. And you'll have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on Locked On Yankees through our Green Room conversations. Go download the Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. That includes iPads. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Stace Gotts to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live this week. We'll do one during the Cleveland series. We'll try on the weekend, and I'll let you know. But I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts about what's going on with the Yankees at that point. So see you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. And speaking of sports, we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface and even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports. Use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now, let me speak about football just for a second. I don't know if you all knew that this was happening, but Peyton Manning and Eli Manning did an alternate broadcast for the Monday Night Football game. It was delightful. And baseball has alternate broadcasts also. ESPN does the StatCast broadcast sometimes that I sometimes watch because I know some of those people who talk about StatCast because I used to write for certain websites and know people in the baseball writing circle. I think that that should be an option for everything. I think every playoff game should have an option for an alternate broadcast. I don't care if it's, I think MLB does alternate broadcasts as well. And they bring on people like CeCe Sabathia to talk about the game. There's a group of four guys who do it. And they don't do it in the traditional we're in the booth way. It's kind of like you're watching the game with them and they're telling their observations. And I think that every broadcast should do that. I think that would be so cool. National broadcast, not every regional. That would be too much. And I don't think all 30 teams would have enough people to work all those games. Plus, you know, two crews and everything. It's a lot. But I like the idea of having that alternate broadcast and you can hear different thoughts. And I know a lot of booths have former players, but some of them are curmudgeon-y. John Smoltz. Others aren't. David Cohn. Yeah, I like the idea of having that second tier of people to talk about things that aren't discussed on the main show. Because I find that the national shows, all right, I don't want to bash things here, but there are certain broadcasts that aren't up to snuff anymore, okay? When I was younger, like in my 20s and 30s, when it was Tim McCarver and Joe Buck on Fox, yes, they were annoying. Yes, it seemed like they were constantly kissing the Red Sox behinds, and sometimes they were. I'll never forget, there was a game in Fenway on a Saturday. Dustin Pedroia made a play. Now, granted, it was a good-ish play, but it was a play that you should make as a baseball player. He was backing someone up, okay? They would not shut up about it for three innings. And my father used to always get mad at me because I would complain. I'd say, they're biased against the Yankees. They're constantly kissing the Red Sox butts. You can hear it, blah, blah. He finally realized it during that game. And it was like the sixth inning. He's like, are they going to mention this play again? Any baseball player should be making this play. Are they bringing it up because he's 5'2" and it was a big deal that he made this play? So anyway, even back then with those two, I feel like the national broadcasts have dropped off. I don't know if other people feel this way, but I feel that a lot of stuff, I feel like they're not paying attention to the games, especially ESPN. I kind of understand because of the whole 9/11 thing this weekend during the Subway series, but it was still too much. You know, 9/11 was Saturday. It was the Fox game. It was a big deal. That I get. But by Sunday, we were 9/11'd out, really. I mean, it's too much. It's too much for New Yorkers every year. Even if you weren't there, even if you just watched it on TV, it's the chances of you knowing someone who was killed in 9/11. I mean, I know of at least seven people who were in the towers that day. Not well, but knew them. And it's just too much. And I felt like ESPN's broadcast on Sunday night was not good. And it was such a good game. I mean, obviously it wasn't great for the Yankees with the way it ended, but it was a good game. And I'm sure ESPN was kind of happy that the Yankees and Mets were being kind of chippy at each other and chirping because the Subway Series had gotten really boring. And now looks like it could be really good. I mean, if the Mets can keep Baez and they still have, they'll have Lindor for a long time. And if they have those guys being fired up about stuff, claiming the Yankees were cheating, which I don't think they were. And even if they were, I think the whistling is something that they do. Like, that's a way to, you can steal signs. You just can't use technology to steal signs, right? Isn't that a baseball, like, unwritten rule or something silly like that? Anyway, so yeah, I don't enjoy national broadcasts. I mean, I never did, but I feel like they're falling off. And, you know, with Fox, Smoltz is a curmudgeon. He complains too much about how the game has changed. And I don't think he should be on a national platform talking like that. If you want him on a local broadcast, put him on the Braves game, and he can talk all he wants about how baseball is falling off and things are changing and it's not as good and blah, blah, blah. But don't do it on a national broadcast. You want people to watch the games. You know, local broadcasts, you have people who watch the games all the time. National, someone might stumble upon it and be like, oh, hey, it's a baseball game. You don't want one of your main guys to be sitting there slagging on the game. It's just silly. Anyway, there was a lot of national stuff this weekend. I mean, I get it. It's the Yankees and the Mets, and, you know, they try to elevate the Subway Series every year, and, you know, especially with 9/11 again happening. But yeah, no, national broadcasts need to be better. And I like the option of having a secondary broadcast. And if anyone needs a list of people that I think would be good on a secondary broadcast, just come to me. I will tell you who I think should be on. More women, more non-men, especially people of color, because there are a lot of people of color out there who know their baseball and need to be on TV. So thank you for that. Anyway, let's talk quickly about last night's game and the offense, which wasn't like exploding. I mean, you know, a lot of those home runs, the only home run I think that was with someone on, right? Yeah, Judges was the only one that had a runner on base. DJ LeMahieu got on base. He hit a home run. And then, let's see. Oh, no, Stanton. That's right, because he made it 4-0. That's right. Sorry. And then it was Voit, Gallo, LeMahieu, who all hit solo home runs. Right. LeMahieu's was pretty big, but big meaning far for LeMahieu, but Voit. Oh, that pitch by Wells, the term meatball. Yeah, that was a meatball. That was bad. That was really bad. Now the Orioles had a Yankee kind of game. They were 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position, and they left 9 on base. The Yankees were only 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position. They left 7 on base. And the top of the order, actually, everyone got a hit. Everyone who started got a hit. LeMahieu had 2, Judge had 1, Rizzo 2, Stanton 2, Voit 1, Gallo 1, Glaber 1, Urshela had 2. That's right. I felt like Urshela, that dinky hit that he got that started things off for him, I feel like that might get him going in the right direction. And Kyle Higashioka had a hit. Gardner was 0-for-1. And Wade didn't come up. I think he just was playing the field. So Judge quietly having a really good season. Let's briefly discuss this. He is up to 34 home runs. And he really is doing this quietly. It's kind of funny. He's batting .292. He has 34 home runs, 84 runs batted in. And he has 6 stolen bases. And just watching him play the field, someone that big should not move as well as he does. He's amazing. I feel like people don't give Aaron Judge enough credit. And not only that, can we discuss the fact that he's played in 131 games? That's pretty impressive considering all the injury issues that he's had. And let's talk about Stanton. Stanton's played in 122. My bold prediction this year was that Stanton and Judge would be playing in at least 40 games together. I was right. I mean, I was joking because I figured they'd be okay, but I was right. You know what else I'm right about? Built Bar. I'm right about how Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. And did you know that they have so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone? If you don't know the flavors, you're missing out. Coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite flavor, if you listen or watch this podcast, you know it's mint brownie. Love it. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you could get a mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. You try them all, figure out what you like, have your family figure out what they like, and then order them. Built Bars are not only the best tasting, but they're healthy too. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and they're amazing. Go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. I need to order another box of mint brownie. I haven't had one in a while, and I think I might actually do mint brownie, salted caramel, and German chocolate. Those are 3 really good flavors. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Let's preview the game tonight. Gotta get my phone out and see who's pitching, because why don't I know who's pitching? I should. Well, okay, no. In fairness to me, it's not like Tyone's pitching. Oh, Cortez, of course. It's Nestor Cortez Jr. Up against John Means. Okay, this might be hard for the Yankees, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Cortez is 2-2 with a 2.70 ERA. Pardon my neighbor's dog. And Means is 5-7 with a 3.42 ERA. Let's look at Means' numbers. That's in 126 and one-third innings. He has 114 strikeouts. In his last four games, no, last seven games, sorry, he's 0-4 with a 4.78 ERA. So that might actually help the Yankees. His last start against Kansas City, he ended up losing, but he didn't pitch badly. He pitched seven innings, gave up two runs on five hits with two walks, five strikeouts. Oh, that's a palindrome. Nice. Against the Yankees, he pitched against them on September 3rd. Five innings, two runs, three hits, two walks, five strikeouts. So it's not like he's pitched badly. It's just, he pitches for Baltimore. So even if he pitches okay, the team ends up losing. Now let's look at Nestor Cortez Jr. Overall, 2-2, 2.70 in 73 and one-third innings with 76 strikeouts. I really don't know how he does it. I mean, it's not like he throws the ball hard. Compared to everyone else in baseball who is dialing things up to 100 with regularity, it's kind of fun to watch Nestor Cortez strike out guys when he's only throwing 90, 91. I mean, Nestor Cortez would have fit in perfectly in the 80s in a starting rotation. I mean, he's doing fine, but it's just funny because, you know, if a guy's not throwing 95 regularly, it's like, what is wrong with him? So let's see. Oh, I went too far on the page. That's what's happening. So his last seven games, 2-2 with a 3.32 ERA. That's in 40 and two-third innings. Now he pitched on the ninth against Toronto, six innings. He only gave up two runs. Didn't get the decision. The decision was Toronto won, because if you recall, they swept that series. Yeah. Last time he pitched against Baltimore, he lasted 5 2/3, gave up one run on four hits, two walks, seven strikeouts. So we'll see what happens tonight with Nestor Cortez against John Means. But as I said, the Yankees need to sweep this series. I know it. I know people are sick of me saying it, but it has to happen because these next 2 weeks obviously are important. And there's no way they can catch the Rays in the division, but they have to fight off Toronto and the Red Sox. And isn't it amazing how the Yankees, Red Sox, and Toronto are all up there in the wild card? And let's see. Seattle is three back. Oakland is 3.5 back. So, yeah, the Yankees are 3-7 in their last 10. Boston is 4-6 in their last 10. Toronto is 8-2. Now, interestingly enough, Toronto is 5-5 in their last 10, but they did win. They did beat the Blue Jays last night. As I said, they're losing to them right now. Let's check that again. It is 4-1 Blue Jays, but it's at the bottom of the fifth. The Tampa just scored a run in the top of the fifth off Robbie Ray. And the Red Sox are beating the Mariners 1-0. And right now they have a runner on second and third with one out. And that is against Gonzalez. Okay. So yeah, scoreboard watching. We're doing it. It's here. This is the Yankees have to win their games. They can worry about what the Red Sox and Blue Jays do, but they really have to worry about themselves. And as I said, these next few games, tonight against Baltimore, tomorrow against Baltimore, which is a 5:05 start, by the way. And that's Jordan Montgomery against Ellis. Chris Ellis, right. Chris Ellis is 1-0 with a 2.08 ERA in 21 and two-thirds innings with 18 strikeouts. He's appeared in four games in the last seven games with a 2.55 ERA. He pitched against the Yankees on September 4th. Five innings of no run ball, one hit, three walks, two strikeouts. As for Jordan Montgomery, not great his last time out. Not great at all, actually, against the Mets. Five runs on seven hits in 3 1/3, although he did have six strikeouts, which is good, but everything else, not good. Three walks, yeah. He needs to do better because he pitched six innings against Oakland on August 29th. Then September 4th against Baltimore, he only went 4 2/3. And then against the Mets, 3 1/3. So yeah, the Yankees need more length out of Jordan Montgomery. Hopefully they can get it tomorrow. Again, that's a 5:05 start in Baltimore. And then the Yankees head home to play Cleveland, and we'll preview that series on Friday. Yeah, so the Yankees have won two in a row. They're going in the right direction. Again, they just need to beat teams that they should be beating. And hopefully they will. You know, we'll see how that works for them. But, you know, as for the Orioles, it shouldn't be a 2 out of 3 situation. They need to win all three games. That's just the way it goes. Because let's just quickly look at Baltimore right now, because they're just terrible. And there's no excuse for lose. Yeah, they're 46-98. They're 43.5 games behind Tampa. They've lost four in a row. They're 4-6 in their last 10. You have to pounce on them. Granted, when the Yankees played them the last time, last week, Baltimore was on a bit of a roll after that really long losing streak, so they were playing a lot better than they were. But they're back to being Baltimore, and the Yankees need to pounce on them. Their run differential is -262. The Dodgers' run differential is +242. That just shows you how bad Baltimore is. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show. You can subscribe to it, but you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on the Yankees doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. If you could be so kind, please rate this podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Also, like and subscribe on YouTube. Watch us there if you want to. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy your Wednesday. Hopefully the Yankees will beat the Orioles, maybe, hopefully. And I'll talk to you all tomorrow.